I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. Yesterday, we learned that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein was leaving the Justice Department after William Barr, the president's choice for AG, is confirmed. The hearing on Trump's nominee is scheduled to begin next week. Rosenstein appointed special counsel Robert Mueller to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 election and whether the Trump campaign was involved. He's overseeing the probe because former Attorney General Jeff Sessions had recused himself. President Trump fired Sessions late last fall and appointed Matthew Whitaker to be acting attorney general. Justice Department reporter Katie Benner has been covering all this drama and musical chairs for The New York Times, and she joins us on Radio Times. Katie Benner, nice to have you with us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So yesterday, it sounded as if Rod Rosenstein's departure was imminent, but now we're learning maybe not so soon. What's the latest?
So he wants to stay on through Barr's confirmation. Bill Barr is going to have his first meeting with the committee on the 15th, and then the confirmation process could take as long as through mid-February, the end of February. And then after that, Barr will come in, Rod Rosenstein will help him through the transition, and then he will leave the Justice Department.
Do we know why he's leaving?
You know, so he told Mr. Barr, who had told some of the folks on the Hill yesterday, that in their first few encounters, in their first few meetings, Rod Rosenstein told Bill Barr that he felt that 2 years was a good amount of time for a deputy attorney general. Deputy attorney generals do not tend to stay very long at the Justice Department, and they're almost never known. Marty, can you name any deputy attorney generals other than Rod Rosenstein?
No, I cannot.
But you can, exactly. And so it's usually a much more obscure position, and people leave. It seems like a natural end point.
Now, William Barr was attorney general a couple of administrations ago. What do we know about him?
So we know that he was an attorney general. He's what you think of when you think of the classic Justice Department. He is known for being a fairly stern person, for being somebody who really wants to know what the rule of law says. For somebody, though, while he is a conservative and a Republican, like so many people at the Justice Department, they pride themselves on putting those things aside in order to look at cases fairly. At the same time, he understands that the attorney general position is a political appointment, and that means that you do have to take into account the needs of the administration. You have to understand how to treat cases, how to present cases, and how to present information to the public. So the public also continues to have faith in the Justice Department and faith that law enforcement is upholding the law. Now, we've seen that, under the first 2 years of the Trump administration, be really up for grabs. Trump himself has attacked the Justice Department and said that people there are, you know, criminals or up to no good, that they're biased, they're not doing a good job. When William Barr comes in, he can change that.
Now, last summer, Barr, I'm not sure if it was a letter or some kind of a document where he was critical of the Mueller probe, especially the focus on obstruction of justice, efforts to question the president. Does that raise questions about his neutrality when it comes to the Mueller probe?
Well, two things. He's already been questioned by lawmakers on that point, and full stop, he's told them that he thinks that the Mueller probe should live its natural life, that Robert Mueller should be allowed to investigate the 2016 campaign until he feels that he is done and that he does not plan to stop that. Does the memo itself that he penned over the summer raise questions? Of course, but I think that what it really shows is that he has a belief which is very popular in Republican circles. It's become Republican orthodoxy, a belief that the leader of the executive branch, the president, is the president, and that his actions, because he's the president, mean that they are okay. That's an extremely simplified version, and I'm so sorry to do that.
I know what you're talking about, though.
Is that as the president, Donald Trump or whomever it is not going to obstruct justice by taking actions that the president is allowed to take under the Constitution.
Well, I'm sure
it is not an unusual point of view, but certainly in this context, it's extremely controversial.
And I'm sure it will come up at his hearing, which, again, scheduled what to begin next week.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about Matthew Whitaker. Now, he has been the acting attorney general. He was appointed after Sessions was fired by the president. Matthew Whitaker, often described as a Trump loyalist. Do we know what he has been doing in the last couple of months?
So Matthew Whitaker, he was Jeff Sessions' chief of staff before he became the acting attorney general. It's interesting, his reputation as chief of staff is that he was almost like a military general. He kept the trains running, and he had a fairly good reputation within the department for bringing in process and making sure that things ran on time and helping Jeff Sessions prioritize. Once he became acting attorney general, people became more concerned about his close relationship with the president and what that would mean for Mueller. However, from the minute he became acting attorney general until I believe it was the 19th of December, he did not oversee the Mueller investigation because he was undergoing an ethics review process to see if he should recuse himself. So while he's been running some day-to-day of the department and taking on some of the duties of the attorney general, including public speaking and looking at cases and helping to set priorities for the department, he, not until after the holidays, did he actually start looking at the Mueller case.
Do we know what he has been looking at since the holidays? And, of course, that's during the government shutdown, which I don't know if that complicates things at the Justice Department.
I mean, the shutdown is going to complicate things everywhere in D.C. All we know is he's been briefed on the investigation. He's had, you know, maybe 10 working days to get caught up to speed, and he's going to be out the door in just 6 or 7 weeks. So I think it's safe to say that while he's learning about the Mueller investigation, there's nothing he has done about it. Keep in mind that the acting attorney general overseeing the Mueller investigation is not part of the investigation. That person is not investigating the campaign. That person is not working with prosecutors. That person is not trying to build cases. All that person is doing is checking in every so often to see what the Mueller team has found and to decide for him or herself, I think this is overstepping.
And we know that there have been several cases where things have come up related to that. So he and Mueller have a good working relationship from what you can figure out. I realize that Mueller is a great mystery, I think, to all of us and what he's doing. But any way to gauge how they work together?
They don't work together. Mueller's team doesn't even work in the Justice Department building. They're in a completely different building in a different part of Washington. They have almost no interactions whatsoever with anybody at the Department of Justice, save a couple of people who are tasked to go over and interface with Team Mueller. So Matt Whitaker doesn't have a working relationship with Bob Mueller. I would say that Rod Rosenstein didn't really have a working relationship with Bob Mueller. Mueller's team doesn't work with the Department of Justice in that way. So, you know, that's sort of, I think that the public believes that the acting attorney general overseeing the investigation is going in every day and talking to the team and trying to figure out what they're doing. That's not the case.
Now, Rosenstein is alleged to have said, I don't know if you broke this story, but it was certainly a New York Times story, that he had said some disparaging things about the president, trying to secretly record the president or use the 25th Amendment to remove the president. Was that true? Did that stand today? What's the update on that, or is there one?
Sure. Rob Rosenstein has never denied saying the things that we reported. He has said that he said them sarcastically, that he sarcastically said, what do you want me to do, where, why, or when I talk to him? And he has also not denied that he said in that moment that he would invoke, that he discussed invoking the 25th Amendment to remove the president. This, remember, this happened in the very chaotic moments after James Comey was fired in the spring of 2017. There was a lot of scrambling. And so in a heated meeting, he did say those things. He has not denied them. Now, he says today that he has no reason to believe that the president, you know, should be removed and that anybody should invoke the 25th Amendment.
An email from Anne Marie, just picking up what we were saying. She said, wasn't the result of the ethics probe to recommend Whitaker recuse himself, but that Whitaker overrode that recommendation? Katie, can you respond to that?
Sure. That's almost exactly correct. Almost. So Mr. Whitaker did go through, it was a voluntary ethics review. They did give a recommendation saying that out of an abundance of caution because of, because they felt that there was an appearance of a conflict, they didn't say there was a conflict, that they would recommend that he recused. At the end of the day, though, the ethics folks in the Justice Department said it is up to Mr. Whitaker. He took the recommendation. He said, well, if it's up to me, I'm not going to recuse because I don't think I should based on these grounds.
Interesting. Our phone line is not the greatest, but we're going to carry on, Katie, and hopefully we can make it for the next couple of minutes. So Mueller has asked for a grand jury extension, I believe was given that grand jury extension. And at the same time, we're hearing that his report might come out in February or March. And again, you know, this is a great mystery about what Mueller is doing. Anything you can say in response to that?
One, I think that everybody who has said they think that they know what Robert Mueller is doing has been wrong every single time. So I am never going to go out on a limb and say that I think I know when that report is coming, ever. I will say that, we've seen signs that things might be winding down, you know, in speaking to people who Mueller's prosecutors have spoken to. So there are people saying that it could wind down. Now, keep in mind, a grand jury extension for 6 months, that doesn't mean that the grand jury has to be impaneled for the entire 6 months.
What is then, I guess we can talk legacy, what is Rod Rosenstein's legacy if he's going to be leaving the department in the next couple of months?
You know, I think that Rod Rosenstein's legacy is going, it's more complicated than people think, and I think it's going to be mixed. Interestingly, when he came to the Justice Department, he was a very classic conservative, a classic Republican. He believed in tough on crime measures. He did not like the rollback in mandatory minimum sentencing under Eric Holder. He believed in going after bad guys and cracking down on guns, drugs, and crime. He was a staunch Republican. He came into the Justice Department, and because he decided that he needed to appoint a special counsel who would investigate the president, in an ironic twist, he became a hero of liberals all across the land and of Trump opponents. But keep in mind, his day-to-day activities within the Justice Department, the 95% of his time that he spends doing what, you know, deputy attorney generals have always done, which is basically act as the COO of the DOJ, that has been spent implementing tough on crime policies. Mm-hmm. That has been spent empowering U.S. attorneys to go out into the field and indict people and put them into jail for as long a period of time as possible. It's been spent doing very classic Republican things. So even though he's a hero of the left right now, he is truly not a Democrat. Also, in the fight around the Mueller probe, we saw conservatives in Congress who were allies of the president attacking the Justice Department every day, subpoenaing them for more documents, asking for more information, asking them to justify the investigation. And in order to appease those voices, in order to get some of those critics off of his back, some of whom were actually calling for Rod Rosenstein to be fired, Mr. Rosenstein also gave them a lot of documents, a lot of materials that some former Justice Department officials say would never have happened before, that in Justice Department days of yore, when you had a president supporting the Justice Department and a strong attorney general, the deputy attorney general would never give up that much information to Congress and would never bow to them and give up information about sensitive investigations. And that could have repercussions going forward long after this is done.
Well, Katie Benner, we have to end on that note. Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Time. She is Justice Department reporter for the New York Times. Much more on something else after this short break. We'll be right back.